Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with your Holy Spirit for your holy gospel. Amen. God knows we cannot do it alone. We often fool ourselves into believing we are capable of going it alone, without God. Others may even play a role in convincing us that this is possible. Certainly, secular society promotes this concept in so many subtle and not so subtle ways. Of course, deep down, we know better. We do. And God always knows better. During the days leading up to Jesus' ascension to heaven, to be seated at the right hand of the Father, we get a strong sense of his worry for his disciples and followers, that they are not left to do it alone. Last Sunday's gospel gave us a profound insider's look of just how Christ was as he privately prayed to God when he said the words, "As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." He went on to pray, "I in them and you in me, that they may be completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me and have loved them even as you have loved me." What would it have been like if Jesus had ascended to heaven and the breath of God in the form of a powerful and mighty wind we call the Holy Spirit, as the Acts of the Apostles we heard read called the Holy Spirit, had not come down on those disciples, on those apostles waiting in that room, fearing about the future, when suddenly the Holy Spirit breaks through like a mighty wind? Could the early church have done it on their own? Perhaps Philip's apparent response to Jesus, that he addresses to him in this gospel story we have before us today, gives us an answer. Philip says to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." This particular gospel always jumps out at me, probably because it's about Philip, and I hear myself in his words. Throughout the many years of my faith journey, at times, maybe not saying literally, but certainly thinking and praying, "God, Jesus, just show me. Show me, and I will be satisfied." Philip, perhaps, is like the character that we have dubbed Doubting Thomas, the apostle that doubts until he can touch. Philip, to a lesser degree, is known for the apostle that wanted Jesus to show him the Father. And Jesus says to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me?" Can't we see ourselves in Philip? Perhaps even right now in this church, but certainly in different moments, in different events in our lives. After several years of being with Jesus night and day throughout his ministry, Philip still does not seem to get it. Philip still does not know the identity and mission of Jesus. Philip then can be viewed as that unlucky representative of each of us that often misses the point of Christ's teachings and the mission of God's church. But at the same time, Philip can also be the one that gives us at least some encouragement, because if he didn't get it, well, okay. Then not so bad for us that at times we don't get it. As we watched the procession come in today and Ann Richmond waved the flag that represented the Holy Spirit coming over the church, giving birth to the church. This is the birthday of the church. It is that prayer that the Holy Spirit will help us get it. God perhaps persuaded some by his son Jesus, knew that we could not do it alone. The gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost is the proof. The Holy Spirit in our lives was to be that of encourager, to be that of comforter at the difficult times in our lives, to be that of guide as we're seeking discernment in where God is leading you, to be the very wisdom of God, the insight to the intellect of God, to know how we should in our minds think, move forward, and in our hearts come to know the compassion of God, come to know how we are to treat one another with love, and how we are to live out and carry forth the kingdom of God, which was inaugurated by Christ. Jesus says to them, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." The Holy Spirit as part of the Trinity then is a critical part of that Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because it is the job of the Holy Spirit to teach us everything. And if we're taught everything, then that leaves nothing to our imaginations and wills. It's all available to us on this thing we call the Christian spiritual journey. Have you, like me, ever fooled yourself into believing that you could do it alone? This past Thursday here at the church, we had the privilege of hosting our new bishop, Doug Hahn, and a group of clergy, newbies as we would call them, young clergy, not also young in age, but young in years of ordination, the most being ordained, I think, 3 years, but most were 2 years and less. And they're called the Network Clergy, and it's a support group for these clergy as they're placed in parishes and support one another in learning, if you will, what it is to be a priest, and also having mutual support for one another through both the bishop and through Kay Collier McLaughlin and the diocesan staff. And Jane Hansen, one of our members, also sister of Kay Collier McLaughlin and member of the vestry, prepared a beautiful lunch. And we were sort of the end of their day together. And as they came in, the bishop and the clergy sort of wandered. It was only Doug's, the bishop's, second time here. The first time he was a candidate. And so he had not been back to the church. He is coming back for confirmation the end of August, the last Sunday in August. So watch for announcements about that. But they were struck, all of them, by the beauty of this place. The bishop told me this is one of the gems of the diocese. And they were particularly struck by what, in their minds, they said to me was a sense of holiness here. A church that had been prayed in. Lots. And when all was done, and Jane was cleaning up, not letting me help a whole lot, and Kathy Sparrow, my secretary, was helping her after that marvelous lunch, and they left, I was walking around and cleaning up, and I noticed in the chapel almost every candle was burning. Our little votive lights next to the photograph of Mary and Jesus. And I thought to myself how each of the clergy that were here had offered a prayer and had experienced, if you will, the power of the Holy Spirit in this place, and what an indication it is of their acknowledgement that we cannot do it alone. We have had, the last several weeks here, a lot of tough times with illness in this congregation, with difficult moments in the lives of our parishioners and their families. And what's become clearer to me once again is that it's only the power of the Holy Spirit that gets us through these times. It's only our realization that we cannot do it alone, without God, without the table of the Eucharist, either here or in someone's home, on their coffee table or at their bedside. That we need one another, because the Holy Spirit lives within you as it lives within me, and corporately lives powerfully within this community of faith. Each day of our lives, the Holy Spirit is all around us, waiting for you to be open to the encouragement of God and Christ in your life. So today, in moments as we come to the table of the Lord, pray with me, come Holy Spirit, come. Fill our hearts and minds and imaginations with the knowledge of your will, and give us your strength and your peace. Amen.